the end of the day of working in the, not the end of the day, the end of the morning of offering the Korban Tamid. So we've been talking, for those who were here for the past couple, either listening live, and Yeshu Koach to Charles and Elior and Eliel and Lucy and Sophie, who had joined us live, and Logan, I know, is in absentia with us, and anyone else who is listening to the recordings, well, Yeshu Koach for following along with us and learning with us. We've been talking about how the Korban Tamid, how the morning offering on the Beit HaMikdash was offered. So we're almost at the very end of it. So we're starting with the Mishnah. Actually, this is all Mishnah. So Bizman Shekohen Gadol Nechnas Li Shtachavot Shlosha Chazin Bo, Achad Bimino, Achad Bismilo, Achad Bavanim Tovot. So when the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, towards the end of the, after everything was, or when they're about to finish the morning offering, he would go enter in, and he would bow down with three people, two on either side, and one holding the Mefarish here on the side of the page is Avnei Ephod. And this was in the Heichal. This was in the Beit HaMikdash proper, Kodesh area proper. So there would be three people, one on the right, one on the left, and then one who would, when he would bow down, sort of help to make sure all the stones and everything didn't like start falling all over the place. Someone just like holding onto his clothing, I guess. So he would enter into the Heichal area, the Kodesh area. When the Kohen Gadol would walk out, so the person sort of in charge, he would hear the footsteps, he'd hear like the pomegranate bell situation that was on the hem of the Kohen Gadol. He would raise the curtain to allow the Kohen Gadol to enter and exit. Give a lot of kavod, a lot of honor to the Kohen Gadol. And what the Kohen would do, he would go in, he would bow, he would leave, and then everyone else, all the Kohenim afterward, would go in, bow, and then Mishnah Bet. Bow v'amdu al ma'alot ha'ulam, amdu ha'rishanim lishrom acheihem ha'kohenim v'chamisha kimid yadam, hatene b'yad echad, v'akuz b'yad echad, v'machta b'yad echad, v'vezech b'yad echad, v'kaf kisuyo b'yad echad. So we were doing in the several, since we've been starting Masechet Tamid, learning all the different Kohanim would have various different jobs that they would do. So as they were completing their jobs, they would go and they would line up on these, on the stairs entering into the Beit HaMikdash, into the Heichal area, I believe. And they would stand there with whatever utensil they had been using there. They would bring it out and they would sort of stand with it on the stairs. And they would sort of wait there, and as more people would come, the new people would stand to the Rishonim, the Jerome Achayim, and then people would, I guess, stand to the south of how everyone would go. They would sort of line up as new people would come, just take their space next to the people who were there before. Then it would say that these Kohanim would give a bracha to the nation, one bracha. This is a different, the previous bracha when we had the Kohanim give a bracha achad, it had been Emet V'yatziv of the morning Shacharit. But here, the Mefarish points out on the side, he says that this bracha is none other than the Birkat Kohanim, Yibrech Hashem V'yishmarecha, but they would phrase it all in one. They wouldn't pause people to say Amen. It would be Yibrech Hashem V'yishmarecha, Yer Hashem Panav Elech V'yishmarecha. Go straight. That's why it's called bracha achad as opposed to three. Ela Sheb Medina Omrim Otav Shalosh Brachot. Right? We know it as Yibrech Hashem V'yishmarecha. Amen. Yer Hashem Panav Elech V'yishmarecha. Amen. So that's not how they would do it in the Beit HaMikdash. Mikdash bracha achad. B'mikdash hayu omrim et shem kichtavo mevidak b'chinuyo. And in the Beit HaMikdash, they wouldn't say Hashem, the Luish that say Hashem, which is spelled, which pronouncing it as if it's spelled Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. They would say it actually the way it's spelled. B'amdina kohanim nosim yidehem keneged ketefeihem. B'mikdash al gabei roshayim chutz mikohen gadol she'ein magbiyat yadav namala minatzit. So, and also another thing, in the Beit HaMikdash, outside of the Beit HaMikdash, when Kohanim do the Birkat Kohanim, they extend their hands. So it's pointing out here, and I don't know any of the Kohanim here can either confirm or deny this, but the Kohanim would, this is what it is, but if you're a Kohen and you're not doing this, I guess now is a good time to learn. The Kohanim would not raise their hands above their heads, it would be at shoulder length, and that's how it is outside the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, everyone raised their hands all the way up, except for the Kohen Gadol, this opinion is, because it's not appropriate for him to raise, the Kohen Gadol, to raise his hand above the tzitz. Tzitz is Hashem Hashem on his forehead. Not appropriate for the Kohen Gadol to raise his hands above that, so he wouldn't. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Kohen Gadol would be a yadav l'mal min tzitz. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, He does it too. And I have a pasuk, Shenemar, Vaisa Aaron Yadav Ela Am Vaibachem. He saw Aaron would lift up his hands high. So the Rabbi Yehuda says, look, he's got to lift his hands all the way up. The Mishnah Gimel, Bizman Shekoin Gadol Rotzel Lehaktir, Hayaulepa Kevesh, Vaskan Bimino. So the last stage that we had, after we saw the animal slaughtered and flayed and cleaned and all of that, then we had all the different shifts of people who would bring it from, you know, from the tables where everything was flayed and cut up, and they'd bring it onto the ramp of the bed of going up to the going up to the top of the altar where the animals were actually burnt. So we'd seen already that people, whoever won the right to bring it up, were also the ones to offer it as an offering and actually burn it up. But the missionary is saying that if the Kohen Gadol wanted to, the right of first refusal, he had the right to say, I want to offer today's Korban Tamid. So if he rotzeh lahaktir, if he wants to offer the sacrifices, he would go up the ramp, Veskan b'mino, and the skan, the secondary, the second in command, would stand next to him, to his right. Once he reaches the halfway point of the ramp, the skan then, holds on to him and assists him the rest of the way up the ramp. I'm not sure what the reason is for that, but he would help him the rest of the way up. At halfway point, I believe, is where the limbs and organs and everything were situated right there. So he goes. So I'm not sure if there's something sort of symbolic about the Kohen goes as far as the sacrificial meats are going to go, and then the skan sort of helps him go the rest of the way. I'm not sure. But so he goes all the way up to the top. So the person who won the lottery to offer the first chunk, the head and the hind rear, the right rear leg, he goes first. He brings those up from the midway point of the kevesh, midway point of the ramp, all the way up. And then the Kohen Gadol rests his hands upon this offering, does smicha, right? Not like ordination smicha, but this was a function of every sacrifice, was there's a leaning of hands. So he would do that and then throw it onto the fire. Hoshita sheni la rishon shtei yadayim. And then number two would pass the organs, the limbs that he was supposed to, give it to number one. No, not l'kohen gadol, v'smach limbs are gone. And then, so sort of like a assembly line, number two would give his portion to number one, would then give it to the kohen gadol, lean his hands, throw it in. Hoshita sheni la rishon shtei yadayim. That's what we just saw. And then the kohen gadol, v'smach limbs are gone. Then number two would leave, and then number three would come up with his limbs, give it to number one, lean, throw, he would leave. Four would go, and so they would have an assembly line. Number one is passing. The person who had the first chunk would give it to the Kohen Gadol, and then Kohen Gadol would lean and put on, and everyone would just bring up to person number one. That's how they brought everything up. And he would lean on them and throw him into the fire. But it says, when he wants, he could say, you know what, I'm gonna lean on it, and then you'll throw it into the fire. He could do whatever he wanted. They were very, whatever worked for him, whatever he wanted. This is the Kohen Gadol. When you're the Kohen Gadol, you sort of can call the shots how you want the Korban to play out. Okay. Continuing now, so now all the meats have been now offered. The last part of this is the wine libation, pouring the wine onto the corner of the altar. But he doesn't go, he's, in theory, where he wants to go is directly to his left, but he's not going to turn to the left, he's actually going to go around the Mizbeach to the right in a counterclockwise fashion. So now he needs to get to the corner that's right next to him, to his left. But how is he going to get there? So where does he start? From the southeastern side. Then he goes Mizrach Tzafon, Mizrachit Tzfoni, Tzfoni Maravit, Maravit Romit. And now he's ended up all around the Mizbeach, now at the place to the left of where he started. But that's how he gets there. The Mefarish says on the side, this is how everyone always, if you're ever going on the Mizbeach, you always go in this counterclockwise fashion, not just the Kohen Gadol, not just like this, but every time I want to see where he is. Hakavazo eina miyuchedet leKohen Gadol, ela kol ha-makif ha-mizbeach, kachu makif. Right? This is not unique to the Kohen Gadol. Anytime anyone circumnavigates the Mizbeach, this is how it's done. Okay, so now nulo yain lenasech. So then they give him the wine. Now he's at the corner. They give him the wine or to pour it on the corner there. Beskan amet ala karen. And the skan, the second in command guy, he's standing on the horn, this sort of upper piece of the altar. So he's a little higher than everyone else. I guess he's the highest elevation because they're on the top of the bech and he's on top of the protrusion. So he's standing there. He's got the medal of Karen. He's got these like flags, these stars in his hands. And then, on the other side of the Beit HaMikdash, there are these tables, right? These tables that they had flayed and cut off all the meats. And there are two people standing over there, two konim standing over there. And they've got trumpets. They do a tekiah churah tekiah. They're standing over there. And then they would go to Ben Arza. Ben Arza, the Mefarashir says, the guy with the cymbals. He's got another instrument there. So they would tekiah churah tekiah, I guess, would tell everyone, hey, we're about to start. They go to the other guy with another instrument. They would stand with him. One on his right, one on his left. Shachal Nasech. Now the Kohen Gadol bends down to pour the wine. Now the skan starts waving his flags. Kish Ben Arza Betziltal. He starts clashing his cymbals. So everyone knows that it's about to happen. And at that moment, right, the flags mean the cymbals mean the Levim start singing the song of the day. Higula Perik. They reach a pause. Taku Yishtachavu Ha'am. He reaches the end, reaches like a pause in a Perik break. He blows it to Kia. Everyone bows down. Al kol Perik to Kia, val Kia Hishtachavaya. Every time there was a Perik, every time there was a break, they would blow the shofar. Every time they blow the shofar, they would bow down. And they go until they finish that Psalm of the Day. Zehu Seder HaTamid, Lavadat Beit Eloheinu, Yiraton Shibanev Bimarav Yemenu, Amen. Mishnah ends off. This is the way that the Tamid was offered. May it be rebuilt fittingly in our days. Now, the last Mishnah is a Mishnah that's probably very familiar. What was the shir that they would sing? What was the song that the Levim would sing? Because they sing a song every day. So what was it? Hashir Shayu Levim Amrim Beit HaMikdash. What was it? Bayom HaRishon Hayu Amrim LaShem Haaretz Melua Teva VeYoshveva. The Mefarashir says on the side, why this one? LaShem Haaretz Melua Levishu Tchilat Maseh Bereishit. Since this is the first day of creation, so they sing the psalm that says, La Shem Arab Tinua, the fullness of the world is God's, because God created it. That's on Mondays. The Mefarshir says, Vashini Gadol Hashem. So since the waters split, the heavens on Monday, on day two, they had split heaven and earth. So that's Gadol Hashem, how great God is that he could split the waters. So that's why they say that one. So the Farash says, since the land was created and land was a place where justice and judges would serve, so that's why they sing this one that talks about the care of Elohim Yishpot among the in the presence of judges. So that's on land. So on Wednesday, what's the reason for that one? This is the Wednesday is about the God, the Lord of Vengeance, and there are people who worship the sun and the moon, and so they talk on. They were created on Wednesday, so God takes vengeance against those who worship the sun and the moon. So we say that on Wednesdays because the sun and the moon were created on that day. On Thursday, why this one? Shaboni ru minei ba'alei chayim. This is when all the animals were created on day five. Animals were created, and so this psalm on Thursday is about amazing how God is. Sing praises to God, because God is amazing. Look at every people look so different from each other, different personalities, do different things, and yet they're all created by God. All the animals, everything's created on the same day by God. It's an amazing thing. So that's why we say that psalm. Vashishi hayom amrim, Hashem malach ge'ut lavesh, v'gomer. And this one, Vashishi shebo nishlam asif reshit, on day six, the entire creation was finished. V'nivra ha'adam Now everything was created and humans were finally created on day six. When we say now there was someone who could actually say, wow, Hashem Malach, God is reigning supreme. Now there was a person with understanding who can say such a thing. How amazing God is. So we say that psalm. And then, of course, on Saturday, they say the psalm that says this is the song for Saturday. And it's not just a psalm for the day of Shabbat, but it's the day, it's a psalm for the day of eternal Shabbat, which is the coming of Mashiach, when there's it's a day that's complete Shabbat and complete rest forever. Hadron Alach is Manshe Kohen Gadol, Uslik Alam Masechet Tamid.